We're continuing our study on the attributes of God, and I hope it doesn't get too repetitive for me to say, but I'm still convinced that the whole key to life is not what happens to you, it's how you respond to what happens to you. And the key to responding well is knowing God well. And what do we know about God? Tonight we're going to talk about another attribute of God. Tonight we're going to talk about God's wisdom. Now, there are many times I lack wisdom, and I'm going to ask some of you guys, you help me out on this opening illustration, okay? It was about a month ago, I put my key in my riding lawnmower, I turned it, and it goes click, click. Every turn of my key is one click. Come on, give me some participation, help me out. What's the problem? Okay, battery. So what I did was I charged the battery, and after I left it on the charger for about an hour, I put the key back in, turned it, click, click. I took the battery out, and, you know, sometimes maybe the battery's still bad. I went to the place where I got the battery. I said, would you test my battery? They said, this is really interesting. This battery's like 100% charged, like somebody just charged it. There's nothing wrong with your battery. I said, thank you, sir. He said, what's wrong? Well, I'll let you tell me. Okay, so I put battery, click, click. What else? Okay, so what he told me is it's almost always a solenoid. He says, you want to put a new solenoid in it. If it's not your battery, it's going to be your solenoid. And I thought, okay. So I go online, I find out where that is. I order one on Amazon, $10, not a big deal. It's kind of a hassle to get to it because I got to take the battery back out. I take the battery back out, I put in the new solenoid. It's just this big, two screws, $10, whatever. I put it in, put the key in, fresh battery, new solenoid. Click, click, click. Anybody else? You know? The only other thing I know to do is starter, and I go online, it says check your starter. Starter is very easy to pull. It's actually easier than the battery. I pulled out the starter, put it on jumper cables, touch it to the battery terminal, starter's dancing all over the ground. The starter works. You say, so what did you do next? I used my walk behind lawnmower, and I'll get back to it. There are times I lack wisdom. I don't know what I'm doing. And if you said, Greg, what are you doing? I would say, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm replacing a solenoid. And between you and me, if you said, what is a solenoid? I would say, I'm not exactly sure. I know it has something to do with the electrical. I know it's somehow tied between the starter and the key and the battery. I don't exactly understand. I'm sure it's not rocket science, but I lack wisdom. I just wasn't sure. And many times in life, that's how we are. Never true of God. Here's our definition. God's wisdom means that God always chooses the best goals and the best means to those goals. And I really like that two-pronged definition of wisdom. God chooses the best goals. See, sometimes we're selecting goals that are unwise, right? We're actually working towards objectives that are not good, okay? And it might be you're in a major, you know, I think of some of our young people, but that's really not the best major for you. Or you're pursuing a relationship with somebody, but that's not the right person you should be pursuing a relationship with, etc. God not always chooses the best goals. God gets the best means to those goals. That's the wisdom of God. What does the Bible tell us about God's wisdom? First of all, the Lord is wise in all that he does. Just generic. He is wise. Example, Romans 16:27. He is the only wise God. How about Job 9:4? He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. And then one more, Job 12:13. With God are wisdom and might. He has counsel and understanding. So just in a general way, God is wise. The Bible makes that very clear in all that he does. Specifically, the Bible mentions that the Lord's wisdom is clear when it comes to creation. So we see God's creation, and we see a testimony to God's wisdom. One text, Psalm 104, verse 24. O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you've made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. It was quite a while ago, I remember I was watching some kind of, I don't know, show, documentary, whatever, about life in a desert area. And I've never seen a picture of an anteater. I've heard of an anteater. Have you seen a picture of an anteater? It was the first time I actually saw one. And I thought, that is such a good fit. You know what I mean? here was an anthill. This was somewhere in Africa. And the anthill was, I'm not sure, at least 2 feet tall. I don't want to exaggerate, maybe 3 feet tall. And here comes this anteater. And it has a nose or whatever it is, a mouth or a nose. And it's really long, and then a super long tongue comes out of it. And it's right in the top of the anthill, and it's licking up ants. And I thought, genius, you know? I mean, if you're going to make an anteater, that's the way to do it. And it's just God's wisdom is shown forth in creation, but it is shown much better in his plan of redemption. And that's what I hope will really encourage us tonight. I hope knowing God's wise and always is encouraging, and I hope knowing he's wise in his creation is encouraging, but especially in his plan of redemption. And we'll look at a couple of texts in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I have them on the screen. First of all, the Lord's wisdom is clear in his plan of redemption. Subpoint, God shows the foolishness of the world's wisdom. You know, what do most people do from a kind of a religious standpoint? I think all of the religions have something in common. You have to do something to get to God. You have to somehow get his attention, earn his favor, whatever the case might be. But God doesn't do it that way, okay? You say, what is God's plan of redemption? Well, I'm in verse 18. The word of the cross, that's the preaching of the cross. We could paraphrase that very loosely, the gospel. The gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? You know, you go to the most esteemed academic university centers in our country, you will find no one that believes the gospel. No one. You will find no one that teaches the gospel. You say, why? They're all too smart. They're all too smart to believe the preaching of the cross. They consider that foolishness. What we're doing tonight is what simple backwoods people in South Carolina do, right? People who don't know a lot and we're not as educated as others. That would be the world's view of what we're doing. That's the preaching of the cross. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. And that's what God does. God shows the foolishness of the world's wisdom, and then God's wisdom is displayed in the quote-unquote foolishness of the gospel. And I have from that same text, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. How does God save people? Through the foolishness of the message preached, the gospel. And very intellectual people roll their eyes and say, whatever, this simple gospel. You know, something so simple that even tonight in Truth Trackers, there might be little five-year-old kids saying, yeah, I can believe that. That makes sense to me. Jesus died for my sins, okay? And the world considers that foolishness, but in the wisdom of God, the world does not come to know him. But God, what does he do? Again, through the foolishness, quote-unquote, of the message preached, he saves those of us who believe. That's the wisdom of God. So God shows the foolishness of the world's wisdom. And then secondly, God's wisdom is displayed in the foolishness of the gospel. And then thirdly, the gospel reveals Christ as the wisdom of God. Verse 24 and 25. Paul writes, we preach Christ crucified. Again, that's the gospel. To Jews, a stumbling block. Because the Jews just could not get over the fact that you could have a crucified Savior. They stumble over it. To Gentiles, foolishness. The idea of resurrection was complete and utter foolishness to a Gentile. But to those who are the called, if a person is one of those who are called by God, whether Jew or Greek, it doesn't matter, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. So here is God designing this wonderful gospel. So simple, people stumble over it. People consider it foolishness. You say, who believes it? No one by themselves. But God calls people to believe it. You say, what kind of people? Simple people. Simple people. What kind of people get saved? Simple, humble people. People who come to the Lord in humility and simplicity and don't claim to have anything in the depth of their wisdom, right? And they just come to the Lord with the faith of a child, and they find everything they need in Christ and more. That's the beauty of the gospel. And the more we dwell on this gospel and we understand how wise God is, I end with the verse out of Romans, we marvel at God's unsearchable and unfathomable wisdom. And that's Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. After those great 9, 10, and 11, just so deep, incredibly thought-provoking chapters in Romans, Paul ends with, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, unfathomable his ways, right? Could you ever figure out, search through what God is doing? No, it's just too much, right? Can you fathom it? No, it's way beyond us, all right? This is the gospel. The world considers it foolishness, but God in his wisdom has designed it for people like us to come to him and to have a personal relationship with him. It turns the world's wisdom upside down. The wise, the mighty, the strong, they laugh, they roll their eyes. But to those who are the called, it is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first, also to the Greek, that's anyone who would put faith in Jesus. That's the wisdom of God. We serve a very wise God. Let's pray.